Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The 429th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time. Snag the tickets without the stress. Use promo code SGPN on your first purchase to save $20. Download the Game Time app and use promo code SGPN. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog has just added Pick'em Scorchers, where you can win 100 times your entry. That's right. Turn $5 into $500 in just one game. Plus, every Sunday, they're giving away $100,000. Use promo code SGPN at Underdog Fantasy for a 100% deposit bonus of up to $500. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network, the 429th edition. We're going to dedicate it to a new friend in our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, Squirrel Bits, not only an amazing name, but a new friend in the Discord. Just a small town squirrel living in a lonely world is what Squirrel Bits says, so don't stop believing in the MMA Gambling Podcast and our Discord, Squirrel Bits. And this episode is going out to you. Hopefully it's a banger of an episode. We're doing the main card of UFC Fight Night, Dawson versus Green. I know that doesn't sound impressive, and it's an okay card. It's not an amazing card. It's a typical UFC Apex Fight Night card, but we're gonna make money on it regardless. As I've said in the past numerous times, it doesn't matter the quality of the event. We're gonna make money on it, whether it's Samurai Fight House or UFC Fight Night. We shall make money. And, of course, riding shotgun, the man who helps us make the money is Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
You know, you're right, not really a great fight card in terms of like, household names and people who are in the rankings, right? I think we only got one ranked fighter here on the main card. But I will say, bangers, right? Like, there's not a fight on there you're like, that one looks like it might be boring. It pretty much across the board looks like every single fight is either going to be a back and forth brawl or at least a one-sided savage beating.
Yep, it's true. There are some interesting matchups here for sure. So, and it's a lot of times it's under the radar type events like this that end up having bangers across the board. So, the quality on paper does not always equal the quality that we see in the cage. There's no sloppy, heavyweights, main card, or actually in the card in general. There's no Jose Daniel Medina's either, though, sadly, but we'll have to survive without a Chicho fight card, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be booked soon enough, right?
Hopefully Dan's got plans.
Yeah, he's got to be. They're probably planning a card to go to Spain just to make sure he gets the top billing.
We talked about him enough last episode, I'm sure, but I wonder what the matchmakers thought when Dana did that, when Dana called that audible and signed.
Oh, because they didn't even talk about it. They're like, what is he doing? He's signing the fat guy.
they probably thought they were going to get in trouble for booking him on Contender Series for God's sakes. And now he's got a UFC contract. So
yeah, he did not look good. I mean, I don't want to belabor the point, but he did not look good.
Dana must have been dealt a blackjack on his way into the event last night, because he was in a good mood. Hopefully we're all in a good mood come Saturday night after we get our winning picks here. Before we do all of that, I gotta tell you about the people who help keep us in your ear holes with these winning picks. Game Time is the first one. This one is a good one. It helps you get last minute tickets to any kind of event you're looking for, and it ensures that you get the best price on your tickets as well, because Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. No, I kind of said limes again. Game lines. It's not something you can put in your drink. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, we did the research for the main card and we are ready to give you the results. UFC in advance, UFC Fight Night, Dawson versus Green this Saturday, October the 7th, UFC Apex. Prelims, ESPN Plus, 4 p.m. Main card, ESPN Plus, 7 p.m. At least we don't have to stay up late to watch this card. That's a positive. All right.
Yeah, I love an early card. There needs to be
an early card.
4 o'clock cards all the time.
Yep, there you go. Listen in, Dana. I'm sure Dana has nothing to do with what time they start at. TV people, listen in. All right, featherweights. Alexander Hernandez versus Bill Algeo. We will tell you about Alexander the Great Ape. He was just Alexander the Great before, was he not? That boring nickname that all the Alexanders use.
He was, but I don't know that the Great Ape is better. He was the Great Ape. I know for a fact he was the Great Ape last fight because we've already had this discussion. I trashed it because he was like, he eventually figured out Alexander the Great is a dumb nickname and was like, how can I make it dumber? And he succeeded. You know, hats off.
Yep. Next, maybe he can be the Grape Ape. That would be a better nickname, don't you
think?
Alexander the Grape.
Get really into Welch's grape juice.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe you get a sponsorship. Regardless, let's tell you about Alexander Hernandez. No matter what his nickname is, he's 14-6, six knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out three times, submitted once, 6-5 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last three, but he did win his last fight. Maybe he saved his UFC career with that one. Three losses in a row usually is not a good thing. What else can I tell you about him? He used to fight at lightweight, was regional champion, 2012 pro MMA debut. 3 years younger than Algeo. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents, but he is in the positive in the striking differential, 0.04. So he outstrikes his opponents by 0.04 strikes per minute. Better than being hit more often, I guess. Better grappling stats than Algeo, +125. Senior Perfecto, there's a nickname, even though he's far from perfect. That's a perfect nickname. He's 17-7, four knockouts, seven submissions. He's been submitted twice, 4-3 in the UFC. 3-1 over his last four, including winning his last fight via submission. 0-1 on the Contender Series. Always like to spring this on Gumby. Who did you lose to, Gumby? Do you remember?
Senior Perfecto. Was it Brandon Lognan? I don't know. I don't know for sure. I feel like he's the guy that Brandon Lognan took down, and then Dana White got all pissy.
You are correct.
Yes!
over 4 years ago, Gumby remembers. I didn't. Yes. All right. He's a regional champ, Algeo, that is. He has missed weight before. 1-0 in World Series of Fighting. 2012 pro MMA debut, just like Hernandez. He's 3 inches taller, 1 inch reach, better striking stats, and more active landing strikes than Hernandez. And he has a positive strike differential of 1.61 strikes per minute. Nice number for him there. -130. All right, we'll kick it off. Give me Senior Perfecto here. Better striker, obvious. Even the numbers show that. And I think he's a better grappler, or he's just as good of a grappler as Hernandez. So I give him actually the edge in both the categories, especially in the striking realm. So give me Algeo here.
I'm going to go Hernandez here.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah. I used to like Bill Algeo. The more and more I think about it, I don't actually like his striking very much. You know, you mentioned, you know, the striking numbers clearly lean to him, but let's talk about the people he's outstruck. Herbert Burns, you know, not a boxer.
Fire.
You
know,
yeah.
Fire.
That's a guy who wants to be on the ground pretty much all the time. TJ Brown, same thing. Great grappler, not much of a striker. He outstruck Joe Anderson Brito, but I don't know if you remember that fight. Brito just decided not to fight for the first two rounds in like a very weird way. And he outstruck Ricardo Hamosh, which like, okay, that one's maybe fine, but he's been out grappled really badly in some fights. Ricardo Hamosh got him down 8 times. Andre Feely badly outstruck him and out grappled him both. Spike Carlisle scored a lot of takedowns on him. Ricardo Lamas, who I don't think of as a wrestler, scored a lot of takedowns. You know, we already mentioned the Brandon Lognan taking him down. I don't think he has the power to take down Alexander Hernandez. Hernandez, at least in his last fight, I think we got to give him a little bit of credit because he looked good in that fight against Jim Miller, right? Like I've been writing him off as not being particularly good for some time. But in that fight with Jim Miller, I mean, like he looked like the prospect we thought he was back when he he rushed onto the scene and knocked out Beneil Dariush straight out the gate. And everybody was lauding him as like the next big thing until Cerrone kicked his ass. And then he kind of went on this like weird little run, but he still got crazy good power. And in the Miller fight, he also showed me he's figuring the cardio out. I don't think Algio gets him down. And I think Algio standing with him is a bad idea. So I'm going to go slight dog here. I'm going to take Hernandez.
Well, that hurts, Gumby. We finally disagreed on something. Last show, all in agreement. This show, Gumby is zigging while I'm zagging. But
I think we might go 4-for-4 to close it out, though. I got a good feeling.
There's a good chance. Actually, looking at these fights, there's no. Actually, we're not going to because I listened to some of your picks already, Gumby. So no.
I know which really, one you do. I know
you're really screwing up here.
I know which one you don't agree with. Then.
Yeah. All right, lightweight time. Drew Dober, Ricky
not this one.
Glenn.
Spoiler alert.
Ricky the Gladiator Glenn, 22-7-2, 13 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, 4-4-1 in the UFC, 1-2-1 over his last. That would be 4 fights by my math. He did get knocked out in his last fight. He's not won since June of 2021. Has missed weight in the past, 4-1 in World Series of Fighting and the champion there. That was down at featherweight. 2006 pro MMA debut, 4 inches taller than Dober, better striking stats, and he's barely outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.007, and he's at +360. Dober, 26-12 with 1 no contest, 13 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 4 times, 12-8 with 1 no contest in the UFC, 3-1 over his last 4, but he did get TKO'd in his last fight, 0-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at welterweight, so we got a former welterweight versus a former featherweight. Yet the featherweight is 4 inches taller, so go figure. Dober, 1-0 in Bellator, 2009 pro MMA debut, more active landing strikes than Glenn, and he's barely been outstruck by -0.02 strike differential in the UFC. He's at -425. That's not a little number.
Yeah, this is obviously Drew Dober. Yes. I like Ricky Glenn, and he had some like surprisingly good showings from time to time. But look, bottom line is Drew Dober hits really freaking hard, and he just got knocked out by Christos Iagos. And I don't mean to let the shrapnel hit Christos Iagos here, but Christos Iagos, it would even tell you to his face that he prefers to grapple, that he's a guy who mixes it up on the ground better, and he believes in his wrestling. I interviewed him when he said his losses were largely due to the fact that he just wasn't trusting in his wrestling and he was trying to strike too much. In his last fight, he got to strike too much and still won. So you got a guy who hits like a truck in Drew Dober. You got a guy who just fell to a wrestler in terms of striking. I don't see how this fight doesn't end with Drew Dober knocking his head off.
Yep. Drew Dober is the pick, obviously, for all the reasons Gumby just said. He's going to smash him on the feet more than likely. So there's that pick. This is a more evenly matched fight coming up, but should be nonetheless as exciting and violent as the Dober Glenn fight. This is at welterweight. Alex Morono versus Joaquin Buckley. Morono, the Great White, is the nickname. He's 23-8 with 1 no contest, 6 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, 12-5 with 1 no contest in the UFC, 5-1 over his last 6. He did win his last fight via submission, was a regional champion, used to fight at middleweight, 2010 pro MMA debut, inch of height over Buckley, better striking and stats, and he's more active landing strikes than Buckley. He's up. He has a positive strike differential of +1.06. He's at +145. New Mansa, Buckley, 16-6 with 12 knockouts. He's been knocked out 4 times, 6-4 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last 3. He did win his last fight via TKO. used to fight up at middleweight as well. 3-2 in Bellator. 4 inches reach, 4 years younger than Moreno. He's got better grappling stats than Moreno, and he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.34 strikes a minute. Minus 165. I'm going Buckley, the power in the striking, not to mention the reach to utilize the power with, and he's a better grappler and utilizes his grappling more than Moreno does. So give me the favorite here.
I'll give you that he utilizes his grappling better than Moreno, but I'm not sitting here telling you he's a better grappler than Alex Moreno. Alex Moreno, high-level black belt when it comes to grappling. Looks very good on the mat. Yeah, you can give Buckley the wrestling, but anybody who tries to wrestle Moreno winds up countered pretty badly. Like, nobody succeeds in countering him. And I also just think there's no way he shoots a takedown in this fight. I think Moreno is just going to absolutely stuff anything he would send, and he's going to feel confident because he's faster. With that being said, I still like Moreno in this fight. He's 5-1 in his last 6 fights. His only loss, he was beating the crap out of Santiago Ponzinibbio and caught an overhand right. And sure, could that happen here against Buckley? Yeah, Buckley's got a similar game plan and styling to Santiago Ponzinibbio. He's a guy who strikes and just wants to get it done. But I think Moreno just does a little bit more of the basics here and picks away at him, tries to wear him out. I think if he does get to the grappling, I think he can dominate on top, particularly if he gets Buckley tired. And I wouldn't be surprised if he got like a TKO finish on top, if he just ground and pounded him out. I also think we're sleeping on the fact that perhaps Buckley's chin is not as good as we think it is. He's coming off of, he did beat Andre Fialu, which turns out is not all that impressive. But like, if you look at his last, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, like his last 4 losses, 3 of them he was brutally knocked out in. So he's been knocked out brutally 3 times in the last 3 years. Chris Curtis, Alessio DiGirico is not a good person to be knocking you out. And then Kevin Holland starched him with that right cross. So like, I mean, anytime he loses, he's getting knocked out. And look, Moreno hits. And I know he doesn't have a ton of finishes by KO on his record because he doesn't like overextend himself very often. But man, when he connects, I mean, he TKO'd Donald Cerrone just with volume. He got ground and pound finishes in the UFC. Like, I think he totally could pick up a TKO here. And I wouldn't be terribly surprised.
All right. There you go. Gumby going zigging while I'm zagging once again. All right. We shall continue after I tell you about another one of our amazing sponsors who keep us in your ear holes. Don't hold it against them that we're in your ear holes, but it is their faults. Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite football team all season long. Underdog has just introduced Scorchers. Go 5 for 5 and pick up Scorchers and enjoy a spicy 100 times your payout. Plus, they have $100,000 Sundays. Continues on Underdog Fantasy. 10 lucky players will win $10,000 each Sunday. Gumby, you have Underdog spicy play for the Cowboys, a higher or lower. You gave us one last episode. Do you have another one?
Well, I'll just say I love that they have tons of UFC stuff in there too. And not just UFC. Yes. They had contender series. If you guys had trailed along with the one we posted on our Twitter, you would have won 6 times your entry using Underdog Ooh. Fantasy, which is a pretty good one. And to get your lineup started right for Saturday's event, I'll say take the higher than on Johnny Munoz takedowns. It hasn't been posted yet. I'm going to imagine they like to have 1.5 on there when we see guys with good takedown abilities. And I'm going to say Johnny Munoz gets higher than that. I'm going to say he gets at least 2.
All right. There you go. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $500. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. Fantastic. Gumby gave you the winning MMA pick there, UFC pick. All right.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We are to the co-main event already. We always go quickly through the main card picks, and this one is Bijo Pfeiffer versus Abdul Razak Al Hassan. Al Hassan, Judo Thunder, 12-5 with 12 knockouts. So you know how this man's looking to win. He's been knocked out himself once, 6-5 in the UFC. He's gone win-loss-win over his last three fights, and yes, he won his last fight via knockout. He's fight at welterweight, missed weight a couple times. Not surprisingly, when you see the guy, it's hard to picture him. Him making weight at welterweight. What else can I tell you about Mr. Judo Thunder? He went 2-0 in Bellator, 2013 pro MMA debut, and he's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.48 strikes per minute. He's at plus 350. Bijo Pfeiffer still goes by Body Bags with a Z at the end as his nickname. It should be B. But anyhow, he's 11-2, 8 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's 2-0 in the UFC, 1-1 on Contender Series. He's won 4 straight fights, all via knockout or TKO. He's not lost since August of 2020. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. He also is a pro grappler. 4 inches of height, 2 inches of reach on Al Hassan. But more importantly, he's 11 years younger than his opponent. Better grappling stats as well. And he has a positive strike differential in the UFC and Contender Series at plus 0.99. He's at minus 400, sadly.
Yeah, I'm going to go Pfeiffer here, but I will say, for everybody jumping to like throw Joe Pfeiffer in every single one of your parlays, I would say this is one I leave out. I really do like Joe Pfeiffer. I think his striking is going to be more fundamental than Al Hassan, who sometimes just kind of like throws from the hip and looks for the home run. I think if he chose to wrestle, he would do well, because while we call him Judo Thunder, Razak Al Hassan, he doesn't use much of his judo and doesn't look like much of a wrestler. I would say Joe Pfeiffer is clearly better in just about everywhere. But also, the guy he's fighting just happens to have dynamite in his hands. Abdul Razak Al Hassan just throws huge bombs. And, like, we've never seen Joe Pfeiffer fight somebody who could knock him out, seemingly. You know what I mean? Like, he's coming off of beating Gerald Meerschaert and Alan Amendovsky, and, you know, he beat Ozzie Diaz on Contender Series, and, like, none of those guys, like, scream knockout artists, right? Even Austin Trotman, if you want to go back to his time in CFFC, or, you know, Dustin Stoltzfus, who, granted, beat him, but with, like, that weird arm injury. But, like, none of these guys are, like, big power punchers. We don't know how he takes a punch, really, particularly from a guy who it's, like, Abdul Razak Al Hassan. So at negative 400, he just doesn't add enough value to any of your parlays that, like, the risk is worth the reward here. So I am picking Pfeiffer. I think he gets it done. I'm staying away from it personally.
All right, there you go. A warning to all of you people, just throwing Pfeiffer into every parlay you got. So, and I agree, Al Hassan is dangerous. So you don't want to sleep on him, especially at a line this high too. All right, main event time. Lightweights, Grant Dawson versus Bobby Green. 5 5-minute rounds. We'll tell you about King Green first. 30-14-1 with 1 no contest. He's knocked out 10 people and submitted 9. He himself has been knocked out 4 times and submitted twice. 11-9-1 with 1 no contest in the UFC. Won his last fight via submission. 4-1 in Strikeforce. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. Use fight at welterweight, 2008 pro MMA debut. Better striking stats, and he's twice more active landing strikes than Dawson is. He has a very good strike differential of plus 2.47 strikes per minute. He's at plus 333. There's a fun number. KGD is the nickname for Dawson. King Grant Dawson, which Bobby Green does not approve of. He's 20-1-1. Is his career record. He's got 4 knockouts, 13 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 9-0-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights. He's not lost since April of 2016. He's missed weight 3 times, so keep an eye on that. He used to fight at featherweight, though. I think he missed weight once at lightweight thus far. 1-0 on the Contender Series. He's got an inch of reach on Green, 8 years younger than him. He's got a positive strike differential of 7.77 strikes per minute, -350. Dawson is the pick for me. Obviously, he's going to grapple and win this fight. I don't think it's going to be as easy as it seems, and I don't really like the -350 line, but I do think King Grant Dawson's going to prevail here.
I think this line looks way better than the Piper line. I'd way rather have Grant Dawson in this fight -350.
Yeah, there's less danger Piper. For sure.
Yeah. There's less danger because Bobby Green's not going to knock him out. I also don't think Bobby Green's going to out wrestle him and like tire him out. He did have that like weird cardio issue against Ricky Glenn, but that seems largely eradicated too, because since then, you know, like he went almost three full rounds with Mark Madsen. He went almost three full rounds with Jared Gordon. He did go three full rounds with Demiris Magulov, and he had better cardio than all those guys. So like I feel like he sort of fixed that issue. Granted, this is a 5-round one, but like even then, I don't see a lot of danger in Bobby Green. I think if you're looking to spice up a parlay or make like a close to even line wind up being a plus money line, like Grant Dawson's the person to add here. I think he should easily, I think he's gonna take Bobby Green down a whole bunch of times and just exhaust Bobby Green until it comes time to finish him. And then pretty much whatever way he wants, he's going to get the finish.
Yep. That's kind of how he wins his fights, regardless of who he's fighting. So more than likely that is the way, the path to victory here for Dawson. All right. We'll recap, but don't go away. We got more spicy picks for you. We both have Dawson, both have Pfeiffer. Gumby has Morono. I have Buckley. Both have Dober. And Gumby has Hernandez. I have Alagio. So Gumby on script is going with more dogs than I am, even though that hasn't always been the case as of late, but it has, it is this week. All right. We are, as I promised, we got more picks for you. We got locks, we got dogs, we got props, and we got a parlay, not plural, a big special parlay like we do every week. Is it your turn to go first? I think it is. I think you get to do your lock first this week, Gumby.
I'll take Carolina Kowalkiewicz -160. I think that line can be badly exploited. I don't think Belbicha brings enough to really scare her. So yeah, give me Kowalkiewicz.
All right. I guess I should have a pick right here, but of course I don't. My lock will be, what line is looking nice here? Actually, I forgot to put down one of these ones here for you. That one might be too close. Is it? Am I going Kid Kavembo? Yeah, I'm going to go Johnny Munoz at -105. What do you think of that? He's technically an underdog, but I'm taking him.
Look at that, an underdog in the lock. He's feeling himself because he has, ladies and gentlemen, I don't need to toot his horn for him because he'll toot his own horn sometimes, but seven locks in a row hit by Jeff Locks Fox. So
there's a new name.
There you go.
Now that you've jinxed it though, it's not going to happen this week. Everyone go Eric Key Lang. Everyone steam that line now, because obviously I have jinxed this thing, or Gumby's jinxed it. But all right, you got a dog?
Yeah, Felipe wins. +130 on Felipe Lins, I think is a steal. I don't trust Ian Cutelaba. That guy's a total flake, and he fights in one round. And I think Lins at least survives that one round, if not straight out wins it. So yeah, give me Felipe Lins.
I'll take JJ Aldridge, the kickoff fight. So I'm really going against scripture. I'm taking a short notice fighter as my underdog, but I think she's going to beat Monty De La Rose. So give me Aldridge at +120.
I like it. For my prop, I'm going to go Grant Dawson by submission. Anytime he finishes somebody in a fight, it's a submission. You know, you go back. He didn't finish his Magulov, but he subbed Mark Madsen. He subbed Jared Gordon. He didn't sub Leonardo de Santos. He knocked him out with a hammer fist, but in like a grappling position. Sub Derek Minner, sub Mike Trezano, subbed Adrian Diaz. Like, he's just, that's how he gets most of his finishes. I think he subs Bobby Green here, and you can get it at +135, which I think is kind of a sneaky good play here.
All righty. My prop bet's not a good number, though, but I gave you two dogs already. Dober via knockout or TKO, -175. Not crazy about the number, but that's the prop I like the best.
I almost picked that same one, and then I was like, I think I got to be a little juicier than that. So that's a good one.
All right, Kowalkiewicz, Munoz, locks, Lins, Aldridge, dogs, Dawson sub, Dober, KO are the props. Now, time for the Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay, two-fight parlay. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to swing for the fences because I haven't been hitting a ton on the Hungry Man Jong. So I might as well, if I'm going to swing, I'm going to make it at least fun here. So the first piece I'm going to go with is, I mentioned, I think Felipe Lins just kind of drags Ion Cutelaba into deep water and finishes him. So I'm going to start with Felipe Lins by KO TKO DQ. That one's plus 300, which I was kind of surprised it was that high because Lins is show dab knockout power. Granted, not a ton in the UFC, but like before the UFC. So I'll take Lins by TKO or KO, plus 300. And then I'm going to go a little bit off the rails here. I mentioned, I think Alex Morano is going to get the KO. I think there's potential here for him to take Buckley out. I'm questioning whether or not Buckley's chin is as good as people say it is. And Morano's KO prop, get this, plus 750, which I didn't think it would be that high when I went to go look for it. And then it was, and I was like, well, might as well give that one out too. So if you pair those two together, you're going to get 33-1 on the dot.
33, is that the biggest one you've given out?
No, I gave out a 35-1 earlier in this year and no part of it hit. So, do with that what you want.
All right. So Lins knockout, Morono. So I didn't write down what. Yeah, Morono knockout too, right?
Yeah. We're going to go big knockouts from some guys who have been pudgy at one point in time in their lives.
All right. There you go. There you have it. Another episode in the books. Hang out in the Discord with us at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Subscribe or like or follow us on Twitter, SGPN MMA, at Gumby Vreeland, at Jeff Fox Writer on Twitter and on Instagram. Subscribe to my Substack, enter my weekly pick 'em contest for this event. We just gave you all the winners for, so you can win my pick 'em contest there for sure. MoneyMMA.substack.com. Listen to Gumby's Top Turtle podcast without me in your ear holes. Who's on it this week, Gumby?
We're talking to Johnny Munoz, who is fighting this weekend. We already mentioned him a little bit earlier on in the show and just now with the locks. And we're also talking to Landry Ward, who is main eventing LFA 169, which is tomorrow night at the time of you listening to this.
Go back two episodes and you can hear our picks for LFA 169 or Gummy's picks. And obviously get on the website sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Get on the Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Get the app, Sports Gambling Podcast app, on your device. And help us crush corporate gambling. We're going to be back on Sunday. We're going to recap all our winners from the UFC. And then we're going to do another episode. We're going to bid farewell to Dana White's Contender Series. Speaking of farewells, Gumby, go ahead.
All right, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's Jeff Locks Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.